No production cut, more stockpiles, and oil just keeps sliding down. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio. Oil prices are falling this morning. West Texas Intermediate futures are down more than 3%, with news of stockpiles here in the U.S. and no production freeze among OPEC nations. This week, oil executives have been meeting in Houston to discuss the future of the markets, which have been pretty brutal for producers lately. Analyst Mahal Madan with Energy Aspects in London says the market's realizing there's not likely to be a big change in supply anytime soon.
Well, the oil prices are down mainly on the realization that a freeze doesn't really alter the fundamental reality that for now the market remains very much oversupplied. Adding to that is the fact that Saudi oil minister Al-Naimi said pretty openly yesterday that Saudi Arabia will not cut production. Iran's oil minister also called the freeze proposal laughable. So all of this, and it's nothing new to the market. Again, the market knows that it has been oversupplied, that a freeze would only temporarily halt production at already extremely high levels. But hearing that said by the Saudi and the Iranian ministers has dealt another blow to the prices, to sentiment.
U.S. oil stockpiles have also increased. The American Petroleum Institute says the supply is up by a more than expected 7.1 million barrels. We'll get the official numbers from the Energy Department later today. Let's do some more numbers. Oil has hit European markets. The 100 share index in London is down 1.3%. The DAX in Germany is down 2.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. The world's most famous trading venue is making a big change in how it does business. The New York Stock Exchange Group is rolling out new software this week called Pillar. Remember, more and more trading is digital nowadays, which means computer glitches can shut down whole exchanges. So new software is no small thing. Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
To understand why software matters, remember that the NYSE and financial markets in general are much more than the iconic trading floor you see on TV. Most of the action of matching up buyers and sellers happens on computers. Charles Jones is a finance professor at Columbia Business School.
Exchanges are really big IT operations. This is really at the heart of what they do.
NYSE's various markets for stocks, options, and bonds use different software now. Roping all that trading into one program is a challenging task. Larry Tabb follows these issues as CEO of Tabb Group.
It's a very big deal. It's like changing an Indy race car engine in the middle of the race.
The last thing the New York Stock Exchange wants is another high-profile outage like the one that locked up trading in July. Jeffrey Sprecher, CEO of NYSE's parent company, recently told investors that the Pillar rollout will be deliberate.
We have a heightened sense of caution, if you will.
And if all goes well, regular investors shouldn't notice a thing. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
The Obama administration is giving out a half dozen low-cost loans to rural communities to boost development. That's part of a wide-ranging program aimed at addressing both rural poverty and opioid addiction, which is on the rise nationally. We had the chance to talk with Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, who is overseeing the effort. Mr. Secretary, welcome.
It's great to be with you.
There's a lot of stuff in this plan. And, you know, I look at meals, I look at expanded SNAP benefits, I look at telemedicine, the opioid crisis. What's the goal here?
Well, the goal, I think, is first and foremost to reduce the number of children who are living in homes that are at or below the poverty level, which means essentially increasing the number of good paying jobs. And that's, we've started that process, but there's more work to do. It's also making sure that the impact of poverty doesn't disproportionately disenfranchise these kids from a bright future. So that does involve the importance of access to early childhood education, making sure that they get proper nutrition at schools. And overarching all of that is the concern that we all have about the expanding opioid and heroin use in rural areas.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of headlines recently, a study that showed that death rates among white middle-aged Americans are rising. Is this an attempt to address that?
It is. When you deal with 47,000 Americans dying from substance abuse, poisoning, or suicides that are connected to heroin or opioid use, it's obviously something that we need to be very, very focused on. It involves education and prevention, working with the medical community to reduce the prescribing of these drugs, making sure that if there is an abuse situation, an overdose situation, that we can respond to it with our first responders having the tools to be able to counteract the abuse and the overdose.
You mentioned first responders. Why not have the administration push to have Narcan, also known as naloxone, which can reverse a heroin overdose, be sold over the counter nationally?
Well, in fact, that's what we're currently making an effort to do. First and foremost, making sure that we increase the supply. That's why we basically have approved
it. Would you like all first responders to carry it?
It would be great.
I look at the budget requests here, and I know we're in the backdrop of you guys are asking for the FY17 budget. $25 billion of that is discretionary, and you'll probably fight me on this, but you're probably not going to get it all. So what is the most important thing for you?
Well, the president's budget does include an additional $1 billion, which would significantly increase the ability for us to help states and local communities locate behavioral service centers in remote areas. The ability to expand education and prevention information. There are a lot of different ways in which that additional money can make a big difference. And we're advocating for it, even though it's not part of our budget, because at the end of the day, it affects the people that we have responsibility for, which is the folks who live, work, and raise their families in rural communities.
Secretary Vilsack, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Forget New York. Beijing is now home to the most billionaires in the world. The Chinese firm Harun says Beijing has 100 billionaires to New York's 95. Even with slightly slower economic growth in China, it seems that Beijing gained 32 billionaires last year. New York gained 4. Moscow came in third place with 66 billionaires overall. The rest of us can just be jealous or angry, either way. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.